Welcome to the Sleepy Pig Social Media Management Podcast. I'm so excited you're here. Let's go ahead and get started. Now, the way that I sort of navigate this, it can be hard, and I totally understand the struggle with this because you're on Pinterest, you're seeing all these things, and you want to be pinning, you know, stuff for your business too. And if you want to do that, you can of course always create like a secret board and whatever. That's totally fine. However, it's not what your audience wants to see, and they're going to, you know, that could be the one board that they see that they're like, actually, I don't want to follow this person because I don't want to see them pinning 100 packaging ideas. So keep that for your personal, but seriously, making these boards be more dynamic than maybe just like dresses. I keep going to dresses. Sorry, guys. So of course, if you offer different like blue outfits, say you have like a 4th of July board, pin your dresses to that board, pin some of other people's dresses as well. That's going to make you not look as salesy. But I always don't like to do that because you're then putting competition right next to yourself. So, I mean, I do it, but I do it. I guess I don't know how to explain it. I don't do it too frequently. I'm not doing that. That's not my go-to every time, right? So I really think of the target audience. If I have a 4th of July board, occasionally pin like 4th of July recipes that are trendy, or pin 4th of July like temporary tattoos or firework safety or something to that board outside of your dresses and maybe other people's dresses. Pin things that are going to complement your product. For instance, I have a client that sells jewelry, so I'm pinning outfits that the target audience would be interested in, you know, things like that, things that are going to complement your products. Think about if you are, okay, let's say that you are a blogger. I keep leaving bloggers out of here, and I know that you guys use it so much, so I apologize. But bloggers, so you are creating a board for your blog about, we're going to stick to the theme of 4th of July, even though it's February. So you're doing a blog about 4th of July food recipes, and you have like 20 recipes in here, whatever. That's amazing. That's a lot of value. You're going to want to, of course, break that up. I'll get into that a little bit. But on top of, you know, food for necessarily like 4th of July, you want to pin that to like healthy recipe boards. You want to pin that to a 4th of July board. Things that you want to pin next to that is like 4th of July decor. Because if you're doing a whole bunch of recipes, you're probably targeting somebody who it's going to have a lot of people over. They're probably going to have a party. They want to look at a whole bunch of different ideas, things like that. So pinning like decor, pinning like placemats, even like things like that, or even just like best places to go for 4th of July or hosting ideas, something along those lines, making sure that it complements your pin. Now, going along with that blogger idea and rolling right into the outlook of these pins. So we already talked about getting your boards like diverse, making sure you're posting things that complement your products. So you have 50 trillion blogs and maybe they're from like 2017 and you're telling me, Kirsten, I've already pinned all of these things like a ton of times. The key with Pinterest is that putting one pin out there isn't going to work, right? You need to have a whole bunch of pins. And this can be awful, especially, you know, maybe you're not, you haven't been blogging since 2017. You don't have a ton of blogs. What do you do? You have to repurpose the literal crap out of every blog that you have. Or if you're a product person, repin the crap, crop every photo. Like, just do as much as you can to repurpose that content. The way that I'm going to suggest repurposing content, the way that I do it, is literally like changing the way the pin looks. You can have like maybe the same title or whatever, but change the font color, change the background. This is going to work really well for bloggers. Now I'm getting too much into bloggers. But for blogging, take certain sections out of your blog and be like, how to, maybe you have a blog for 4th of July hosting ideas or how to host for 4th of July. Take little snippets of that, put it in there, and then click or add something on it that says like read more or check out here for like more tips or just look up ways. Honestly, the best way to do this is just to go to Pinterest and look at how people are rephrasing things. So you can do how to host a 4th of July party, hosting a 4th of July party 101, or hosting 4th of July parties for beginners. I mean, literally all of those are different pin ideas and they all are going to work perfectly fine. The other thing that I want to suggest with your content, I did mention earlier that you need to make sure, you know, your photographs are targeted towards the correct audience, making sure if, you know, if there's a lot of movement in photographs that are performing well on Pinterest, making sure that you're doing that. But in terms of graphics as well, take note of those pins that are performing well. Does it work better if you say like 10 or hosting tips 101? Does it work better if you say how to host a 4th of July party? Pay attention to those that are performing better than others and copy that and bring it to everywhere else too. Like start naming your blogs, things like that. That'll help again with just basics SEO because you already know that it's working well for Pinterest SEO. Making sure that that matches up with your Instagram as well. Just allow this to really drive your content. Pay attention to the analytics, things like that. And on that note, we're going to go a little bit into Pinterest analytics. So again, you have to have a business account to do this. And setting up a Pinterest business account is super easy. You literally just create, like, literally click create a business account. There's a ton of ways to go ahead and do that. Pinterest analytics are actually pretty great for a platform, honestly. They're really easy to follow. The only thing that I am going to recommend that you do is when you go to Pinterest and you click analytics and you just click like overview, for instance, it's going to show you everything that you have pinned. Now, you have to, of course, pin other people's pins to your board. So this is going to show those other people's pins, right? You don't necessarily, you want to focus on what of yours is performing well. So I always click content type organic. If you are doing ads, this will just let you know, what's performing really great organically. And then claimed accounts, you're just going to click like your domain, right? The other way that you can do this, maybe you're pinning a lot from Etsy, Instagram, things like that. That won't necessarily work for you, but it is always great to see like what of your domain, your website posts are really performing great if you have a website. So say you pin a lot from Etsy, you pin a lot from Instagram. I'm still going to try to keep it at organic. You're just going to go down to source and click your pins. And this, actually, this is bringing up, sorry guys, I'm doing this live on Pinterest. Let's see. Okay, just leave it at all and then click on what you want to see from your different accounts. That has just recently changed. Also, this is a thing to note that has changed as well. On Pinterest ads, there used to be a way to do website traffic. However, that has now changed to, let me pull it up. This has now changed to consideration. Consideration and traffic are two very different things because traffic used to be traffic to your website. And now it's just getting people to click on your ad from Pinterest. So this just means people are clicking to view your pin essentially. And this is a problem because Pinterest isn't guaranteeing that people are going to go visit your website. This is just due to new iOS privacy changes. However, Pinterest, that was sort of the big push of Pinterest, is that they're getting people to click to visit your website and you can still track it. I'm still going to recommend using this because it is really great. People are still clicking to visit the website and Pinterest can still track that. They just cannot guarantee that. So that's essentially what that is. Kind of messy, but it is what it is. The next thing that I am going to suggest, I'm pretty sure that I actually mentioned this in the last video as well, but guys, schedule your pins through Tailwind. Oh my gosh. I think they give you like 100 pins. It could change again. I think that when I first started, they were allowing you to pin X amount throughout a time period, but now I think they're only allowing you to pin like 100 things as a trial. That's still a lot of pins. And it's only $14.99 as of today per month. And it's so worth it. This, if you're really struggling with pinning things that are related to your content, or say you go into Pinterest and you pin a whole bunch of things to one board at one time, and that's like the only time that you do it every week or every day, that's, you know, that's not necessarily going to work fantastic. You want to pin throughout the day at the best optimal times, right? So seriously, guys, Tailwind is super fantastic for that. I am not at all sponsored by Tailwind. I just use it. I pay for it. I pay for it for my clients and I pay for it for myself because it is just, it's so fantastic. This also allows you to schedule other people's pins. It allows you to track what you are pinning. So if you are having trouble, you know, you're catching yourself accidentally pinning things that are more for you than your ideal client, this is a way to like pin a whole bunch of stuff and then go back and look at it and say, oh my goodness, I am, you know, pinning for myself, not my client. So this is so fantastic. I love it. I cannot recommend it enough. Also, if you're not really a Canva pro, you don't want to pay for Canva, Tailwind, Canva is only $12.99, guys. Of course, there's Adobe, and I always am going to recommend using Adobe over Canva, but that's just my personal preference as a graphic designer. But if you don't want to pay for Canva or you don't want to deal with Canva, you can now create graphics in Tailwind for Pinterest, and they do have like set templates that you can easily just make adjustments to pin a whole bunch of stuff. So that is also really fantastic. Tailwind also allows you to repin things, which of course has a lot of value if your pin was performing really well maybe a couple years ago for those more old school bloggers, and you want to get that pin going again. It usually like reshares things as well. So that is also beautiful and fantastic. Okay. I think that is all that I had for you guys today. Again, if you have any questions, go back to the original Pinterest. That's sort of a quick overview. Today, I really dived a little bit deeper into things. Repurpose the crap out of your content. You can do it. Research what's performing well already. You can create that content. I know you can. If you guys have any questions, that sheet that I talked about for SEO will be up on the blog. I also have a free entire March content calendar up for posting ideas for basic social, plus two free Lightroom presets on the website right now at thesleepypigsmm.com. Grab those, guys. Those are so helpful. And after you sign up for the first month, I will continue to send those over to you every month for literally free. So make sure to check that out, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.